Good morning, everybody. My name is Alistair. I'd just like to begin by, adding my thanks to those from, Damien, from Thad, from Karen, and from Jason. And, thank you for spending some time, with us this morning, learning a little bit more about the opportunities that we have in front of us here. Also like to thank Jason for introducing the neuromodulation business. I'm going to take you a little bit further down in the body, into the heart and the lungs. Not because Jason's the brain of the company and I'm the heart of the company, but just more so this is where our products play. So I joined LivaNova about 5 months ago. I've spent 25 years in the medical device industry. And one of the reasons where I joined LivaNova was when I took a look at the products and I took a look at the time over my career where I've spent, in the surgery room, in the operating room, standing at the head of the patient, watching the surgeon perform life-saving procedures, changing the patient's life and changing the patient's family life. The ability to get back, the opportunity to get back into this space was, something that I couldn't pass up. And then meeting with the teams who I work with on a daily basis at our facilities in Northern Italy and in Germany, the passion that they have for this business is just absolutely tremendous. And it's a thrill to be back in the cardiac space. The other thing which attracted me to LivaNova was really also the business opportunity. When you take a look at the cardiac franchise, we have some tremendous brands. We have a great footprint, global footprint. And we also have tremendous relationships and customer intimacy all around the world. That business opportunity, together with some of the work we've done over the last few months to really understand the organic and the inorganic opportunities that we have in front of us, made it really an exciting opportunity to join LivaNova. So over the next 15 minutes or so, I want to dive deep into the two parts of our business, the cardiopulmonary business, or what we call CP, and also the heart valve business as well. So let's get going. So as I said, the two businesses that make up the cardiac franchise, first one is, cardiopulmonary, and the second one is heart valves. The split within our business is about 80% CP and about 20% heart valves. The customers that we call on are the perfusionists. But for those of you who don't know, the perfusionist is the person who operates the heart-lung machine that you may have seen earlier. They manage the workflow of the blood kind of during the procedure. The other main customer is the cardiac surgeon. But nowadays, what we're seeing is that it's much more of a team approach to the treatment of the patient within the facilities. So we have a widespread group of customers that we have to, interact with on a daily basis. The disease states that we focus on are in heart valve disease, and the procedures kind of beyond that are the aortic and mitral valve repair and replacement, coronary disease, so the coronary artery bypass graft, that procedure as well, and then also congenital procedures as well. So anywhere where the surgeon is touching the heart, we have the opportunity to play a significant role in that disease state. And then in terms of the market, these are large markets with significant opportunity for organic and inorganic growth. And over the next few slides, I'll talk about our approach to both of these areas, both the organic and the inorganic area. Over the last few months, I've spent a lot of time kind of digging in to this. And one of your questions maybe is there room to grow in the CP space? It's not necessarily the space which is top of mind or the most glamorous. But when we talk with customers, when we look at these markets, there's still significant unmet needs in these areas. Significant problems are not being addressed, within the operating room. And we feel that with both new product development and also some, targeted acquisitions, we can significantly increase our growth rates in this area. So the core of our franchise is built upon, really important key brands in large segments. You saw the S5, next door, the ability to reduce transfusion and improve recovery from the patient, the Inspire oxygenator, which goes along with the heart-lung machine, And then the product, which we're, you know, very proud of, obviously, with, you know, Percival. And if you look across our portfolio, there's a kind of commonality between the products and the value propositions that they have. And that is that they reduce the impact of surgery on the patient. So whether it's with Percival, with reducing operating times and improving hemodynamic performance, or whether it's the Inspire oxygenator with the personalized perfusion that this offers, their ability to reduce the impact of surgery on the patient is really a common theme across our portfolio. So, want to do two things. First of all, start with CP, and then we'll move into the heart valve, you know, segment from there. So, cardiopulmonary. This is the job of the perfusionist in the operating room. These are the guys that sit to the side of the table, you know, during the procedure and manage the blood flow while the surgeon and the surgical team are operating on the heart. So the role of the perfusionist is to replace the heart and the lungs during the procedure. So they need to have the heart-lung machine, which acts as the pump, and then the oxygenator and some of the other ancillary disposables, which act as the lungs. They need to continue to supply blood to the patient during the procedure to enhance recovery time and to enhance the safety of the patient. This is a critical function within the operating room, and it's a significantly big market as well. We're very fortunate in that LivaNova is the market leader in this segment. This is how, you know, we look at this market here. It's about a $2.3 billion market made up of a mixture of capital equipment and disposables as well. In our addressable market on the capital side, we have about a 40% share. And in our addressable market on the disposable side, we have about a 28% share. There's large portions of the market or on the perfusion workflow, both in the capital and the disposable side, where we don't have products to address this. And this we see as an opportunity, you know, moving forward. So M&A opportunities, plus also, as you can see here, significant organic growth opportunities as well. Market is growing, low single digits, but it is a big market. Let's start with the capital side and dive in a little bit deeper into what is really the foundation or the cornerstone of the perfusion workflow. This is the heart-lung machine. The S5 model, which if you didn't see earlier, I'd advise you to, you know, take some time to look through it. This is our machine, which is made in our Munich facility. This is the preferred option for cardiac teams all over the world. We're very fortunate to have a 70% market share globally, and in many markets, significantly higher than that as well. So what has got us to that stage? What's the reason why we have such a large presence in the HLM market? There's really three things that we should focus on that's driven this market share. The first one is the flexibility of the machine. Every one of these machines that we sell is customized for the perfusionist and for the hospital. They're customized in their language, they're customized in their setup, and they're extremely flexible and easy to use, you know, for the customer. That flexibility and that relationship that we've built with the perfusionist as they've helped us design these machines is something which is a core competency and a big strength kind of moving forward. Second main reason is the robustness of these machines. As you saw, they're pretty large. But they're also moved in and out of operating rooms every day. They're used, you know, every day of the week. They're often, you know, moved between rooms, bumped into walls, bumped into shelving units. They have to be very, very robust. And this exceedingly well-made machine has got the trust of the customers because of its robustness. Third area is reliability. Reliability and perfusion equals safety. Failure is really not an option. If these machines were to break down, then the surgery has to get canceled. It has to be stopped midway through the procedure, putting patients' lives at risk. So our 40 years of leadership in this area has been built around our flexibility, our robustness, and our reliability. And as we look at introducing new machines down the road, that is really the cost of entry for us to maintain that. So what are our opportunities in the short term and also in the long term as well? We spent a lot of time, and Damien mentioned one of them, focusing on how do we continue to drive sales as we work on the next platform of HLM machines. The two main areas that we're focusing on from commercial execution is around customer visibility, really understanding where are these machines in the marketplace, and then funnel management, making sure that we have a process in place, understand where the customer is in their buying cycle, and making sure that we are there when they're ready to re-up and buy these machines. We've had significant success this year upgrading our S3 machines to our S5, and we see that continuing into the next year and beyond. The second area about near-term growth is around line extensions and also supporting the ecosystem of the heart-lung machine. We've introduced into Europe this year the S5 Mini, which is targeted from less invasive procedures. It's a smaller version of this, and the orders are already starting to flow in for that. That's been very successful. We're also taking a look at how do we optimize the data collection and data management, which goes along with these machines, and that's we're going to be bringing to market enhancements to that over the next 6 months or so. So short-term, commercial execution and S5 enhancements. Longer term, a commitment to continue to invest in this platform, working with a leading design house to really take a look at what's needed for perfusion over the next few years. That's the capital side. That's the kind of foundation of the capital side. As Damien mentioned earlier, focus. The second main area that we're focusing on perfusion is the oxygenator business. This is the largest part of the disposable business in the perfusion workflow. We've got tremendous opportunities for growth kind of moving forward. The Inspire oxygenator is nearing 1 million patients being used, and this continues to be extremely well received, you know, by the customers. There's also a very kind of close link between this product and the manufacturing site in Mirandola in northern Italy, where this has been made. There's an emotional attachment to this product. This was the first product that that factory released following the earthquake in 2012. And the acceptance that this has had from our customers is a source of tremendous pride, you know, from the operations team and the development teams up there in northern Italy. This really is there's an emotional attachment to this product with our associates. Near term, similar types of work that we need to do with the HLM machine. It's about commercial execution, but it's also about leveraging our HLM footprint. Our market share with HLM, as I said, is around about 70%. Here, we've got a 30% market share. So a tremendous opportunity to leverage that footprint. Every time you use the HLM machine, you need an oxygenator. Every time you use an oxygenator, you need an HLM machine. So the ability to sell the value of working with these two products together is something that we're going to be focusing on in the near term. We're also going to be bringing to market next generation products in this area and line extensions as well, focusing on a pediatric application, which we don't have today. So how does this all come together? How does the workflow kind of come together? The picture of the HLM machine is not typical of what you'd see when you walked into an operating room. If you walk into an operating room, it's kind of a chaotic scene. There's lots of disposables which are attached to the machine. There's lots of different parts of it which all have to come together. We have an opportunity through our Connect system to kind of tie this workflow together. The Connect system is an automated data acquisition and archiving system that provides the perfusionist with a comprehensive patient record. It links our consumables and our equipment into our user-friendly system approach for perfusion. The cardiac operating room, surprisingly enough, is one of the least connected parts of the hospital. A lot of the stuff is still done by pen and paper, which leads to great inefficiencies and problems with data transitions. So the ability to automate that into a simple-to-use, user-friendly device is something which we feel both can drive significant business for us, but also make the perfusionist job significantly easier. The other thing that this does is enable one of the emerging trends in perfusion. Goal-directed perfusion, the ability to deliver personalized perfusion to the patient as opposed to a kind of one-size-fits-all approach, which is typical with perfusion, allows the perfusionist to become a much more active part of the surgical team and allows them to deliver perfusion, which improves the patient outcomes. As I said, this is an emerging trend within cardiac surgery, but it's something which we feel with LivaNova through our Connect system and the ability to interact all the different parts of the ecosystem is something which can become a big growth driver for us. So to kind of sum up cardiopulmonary, we have market-leading positions, focused investment in critical areas of our pipeline, commercial opportunities for growth in the short term through sales force effectiveness, life cycle management, and strategic account management. Strategic account management is something that we haven't spent a lot of time on in LivaNova over the last few years. This is going out and selling the workflow story to the GPOs and to the IDNs. Obviously, this new buyer is looking for different things. We've made a significant investment this year to bring in people with experience in this space to go after and have these types of conversations, you know, with our customers. So we see this strategic account management and partnering with GPOs and IDNs is a major opportunity for us to start to, again, link all the pieces of the puzzle together. Connecting consumables to equipment for the benefit of the patients. And then, as I said, also, there's parts of the workflow where we don't play in, where we have the opportunity for bolt-on acquisitions. So both top-line and bottom-line opportunities here within the CP space. Let's switch over to the heart valves. Our approach here is to bring innovation in specific areas with differentiated products. We are first to market with the sutureless valve Perceval, and we continue to be excited about the opportunities for growth, you know, with that product. Our focus in Perceval, both this year and moving forward, will allow us to adjust our valve portfolio to focus on some of the faster-growing segments of this at the expense of the slower-growing or segments which are declining. So what this specifically means is that when we take a look at our portfolio over the next few years, we'll see a significantly higher contribution to our sales, to our revenues, coming from our tissue valves as opposed to our mechanical valves. Today, our number one product in our valve segment is Perceval, followed by mechanical valves and followed by our traditional tissue valves. We continue to see revenues decline in mechanical in line with the market. However, we do see specific regions, specific geographies, especially in the emerging markets, where mechanical valves are still very important, and we'll be deploying commercial activities to target that. However, moving forward, our focus is on Perceval, and we feel that the commercial programs that we're going to put in place this year and moving into 18 and 19 will return our valve business to growth next year. In 2017, we continue to see double-digit growth with Perceval, fueled by clinical data, geographic expansion, and really the procedure-enabling applications of Perceval. We now have 10-plus years of clinical use and clinical data, and our publications are second to none in this space. We see Perceval as a key enabler for minimally invasive procedures. This allows surgeons to be able to offer patients a less traumatic approach to surgery, and it also allows them to kind of adjust their practice to more effectively compete, you know, with the TAVR procedure, which is obviously gaining ground. From a business point of view, we're very encouraged by the number of hospitals adopting this technology, but we'll need to work harder to get deeper penetration into these accounts. To do this, we're making additional investments in professional education and our proctorship program, and this will help drive wider use but also deeper penetration. We're also changing our sales model slightly to adjust to this deeper penetration goal. So we're investing in kind of additional support in our high-volume institutions in our key cities, which we're targeting. Outside of the U.S. and Europe, we've stumbled over the last year or so due to sales force execution, changing leadership over there, and we're starting to see that feed through, and we expect that to, you know, return to significant growth in 2018. Recently met with a large institution in the northeast of the U.S. This is an institution which had started using Percival about 15 months ago. And the reason they started using it was because they saw the benefits of reducing operating time because of the fast deployment nature of the product. What they've seen over time as they've used this product is not just operating room time being reduced, but they're starting to see time in the ICU being reduced, time in hospital stay being reduced, and overall hospital expenditure on these procedures being reduced as well. That's a personal story that I got firsthand, you know, from the customer. But that's not just an N of one. I mentioned earlier that we have 190-plus publications in this area. But what's been really rewarding is the recent publications that have come out, even in the last 6 months, which really validate and back up the value proposition of our product. Simplifying surgery, facilitating minimally invasive cardiac surgery, lower mortality, lower cost reduction, 26% cost reduction, 15% cost reduction. It's very rewarding to see our value proposition of clinical and economic benefits with this technology being shown through in these really impressive studies. It's also really rewarding to see the recent CMS award of new technology add-on payment. This allows hospitals to get additional payment above the standard, you know, DRG award. This really helps to validate our value proposition, and it also helps to remove some barriers that hospitals are facing to adopt this new technology. Continued clinical data, continued economic story, commercial execution, investments in professional education and proctorship programs. We're very bullish about the opportunities for Percival moving forward. The patient is demanding less traumatic surgery. The surgeons are looking for new approaches to compete effectively with TAVR. Percival is an ideal product for that. So kind of to kind of finalize and just to summarize the cardiac franchise, we have market-leading products in large segments and significant organic opportunities for growth. We've had a focused approach to NPD. We have lacked investment in this area over the last few years or underinvested in this area in the last few years. We've got a renewed commitment to have a much more focused approach to our new product development in this area. Hopefully you understand the commercial execution opportunities we have in front of us. This is kind of a back-to-basics approach, sometimes not glamorous, but these things really, really work. And having that standards approach, standardized approach globally to these commercial execution is something which we are starting to see bleed through into our results. Thad mentioned the operational initiatives that can provide margin improvements. We're very excited about that. So overall in the cardiac franchise, we have a lot of hard work still to do. We have a lot of things to get done, but there are significant opportunities for us, you know, moving forward. And we at LivaNova are very excited about the future for this part of the business. Thank you. Invite Damien and Karen back up.
Okay, so questions on cardiac surgery?
Got
up here.
He's here to help, Kyle.
Thanks so much. So, first question, please, just relates to the heart valve franchise, and you clearly see Perceval has opportunities, but can you describe a little bit as to the non-Perceval tissue valve business, why that's been declining, and when you see that stabilizing? That's question number one, please. Question number two just relates to, and I appreciate Alistair, there wasn't time to go through everything, but you didn't describe autotransfusion. Can you talk a little bit about, is that core to LivaNova, and a little bit about the market dynamics and strategy there?
Okay. So the first, let me answer the ATS part first. What's been really rewarding is the success that we've actually had with ATS over the last, you know, 12 months. A lot of the stuff about, you know, commercial execution, about focus and, you know, funnel management, you know, we spoke about where this is working with HLM, but it's also the same process that we're using, you know, with ATS as well. When we look at the success which the U.S. market has had in this, we can see that we've still got market-leading technology. We've got our customers, you know, kind of demanding this. And with that focus, we're kind of driving results. So this is part of the story of, let's say, it's back to basics, but it applies to other parts of the franchise as well. In terms of focus, our two primary areas from a development point of view right now are in oxygenation and in heart-lung machines. That's where we're kind of, you know, focusing our priorities, you know, right now. Commercially, though, we've still got programs that support the other parts of the business. Your question about the tissue valves, you know, I'm fairly new to the organization and, you know, kind of continuing to learn about some of the kind of missteps that we've made over the last few years regarding our what we call our traditional tissue valves. We've seen that declining. We're forecasting that to continue to decline over time. We've got accounts which are, you know, very satisfied with that product, and we'll do our best efforts to keep that. However, our focus is on Perceval. We feel that that is the product that the market needs right now. The trends in surgery, you know, suit where Perceval can deliver. And, you know, we're going to be pretty blunt about it. That's where our focus is. We will keep some of the traditional tissue valves, but we feel that we've got the programs in place to really use Perceval as the driver of the heart valve franchise.
Sorry, maybe just very last quick follow-up. You mentioned you want to accelerate the leverage of the consumable base, which I think is your biggest business in cardiopulmonary.
Yeah.
You also talked about new machines and also returning this whole tissue franchise to growth. So I just wonder if you can square that with the sort of guidance framework of low single-digit growth for cardiac surgery.
Yeah, again, I think this comes back to, you know, our prudence here about being able to meet and beat. So one of the things here is getting the flywheel going on organic growth always takes a little bit of time. We really believe we're starting to see the HLM read through this discipline I talked about with funnel management, and the early stages of the Perceval change is also encouraging. The U.S., for example, you know, I've been pounding with Jason on the team there, but you know, this average daily units thing, since we've really implemented that in the last 6 months, you know, we've started to see the ADUs tick up, and you know, we're not going to release the exact numbers, but you know, there's a 50% improvement in ADUs in the U.S. So these are early stages for, you know, rebooting the whole commercial excellence process inside the organization. So you know, perhaps we could be more bullish, but you know, honestly, again, back to the meet and beat. You know, we want to be prudent. We want to, you know, make sure we've got the flywheel going. We want to make sure we're templating and replicating. So you know, we'd be disappointed if we don't see things accelerate, but you know, again, I think we're seeing the early signs of good execution.
Other questions? Sorry.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike Matson from Needham & Company again. Just curious, why is your market share so different between the heart-lung machines and the oxygenators? And is there some way that you can kind of link the the products with that Connect system, or having some kind of proprietary oxygenator where it has to be used with your heart-lung machine, or even maybe some kind of sales model where you link the sales of oxygenators to you know, drive the or to enable the hospitals to purchase the capital part.
So regarding the difference, I think there's a couple of kind of key fundamentals which help explain some of that difference. With HLM, you know, we've seen some competitive stumbles, you know, over the last few years, with, you know, competitors withdrawing from that market, which has given us an advantage and helped us increase our market share. We had a similar occurrence with our oxygenator business, you know, with the earthquake as well. We had an impact of that. We've had to rebuild that. So I think there's different competitive landscape with the HLM, oxygenator. There's a lot of kind of good companies in there, big companies with, you know, very good, you know, good products. We think we have a specific advantage over them, but there's some, you know, big companies with good products in that space. As it relates to linking the two together, right now it's not a straightforward razor blade scenario. So if you use our HLM machine, you don't have to use our oxygenator. Other oxygenators work with our machine. We feel that we've probably done a poor job of linking the two things together, and part of that has been through a sales incentive programs and things like that. Certainly from a commercial point of view, something we're looking at. Also from a development point of view, we use the term soft captivity rather than lock and key, but having our products certainly work better, connecting into the Connect system, providing the data which can then, you know, help the perfusionists do their job better. That's the way that we're approaching it rather than a kind of lock and key approach to this.
And just on the surgical heart valve business, you know, how do you guys see the TAVR versus SAVR market kind of playing out? I mean, how far do you think TAVR gets in terms of some of the lower risk patients, and, you know, how big of an impact does that have on your surgical valve business? I mean, I understand Percival's, you know, more competitive because it's less invasive.
Yeah. So there's no doubt that it's starting to have an impact in the number of procedures that are being done. The way that we're looking at it is, you know, with our perfusion business, we cover multiple procedures, whether it's coronary procedures, congenital, you know, valve procedures. So the actual impact of TAVR is fairly limited in terms of the procedural impact across the workflow that we play in. And specifically regarding, you know, valves, obviously TAVR is, you know, focused in the aortic valve. You know, Percival is focused on the aortic valve. So there is the same space there. We're seeing surgical procedures decline. However, where we're bullish about is our market share right now is still pretty low. There's tremendous room for growth, you know, within the aortic space. The move to minimally invasive and the value proposition that Percival brings there, we feel very confident. Even in a market which may decline slightly, we can grow significantly with our business, you know, from there.
Thank you.
Other questions? Yep. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks. Matt O'Brien, Piper Jaffray. Just following up a little bit on the add-on payment that you received, you know, can you just help us understand, you know, how much of an increase that is on average? I know it's about $6,000, but for those cases, and since that announcement came out last month, have you seen an increase or just any other anecdotal comments from your sales force about increased interest?
So it's I'll go back to it. It was really rewarding as a company to get that recognition of the, you know, really value the value proposition, the economic and clinical story that goes around with Percival. What we're starting to do is explore, okay, what does this mean for us, and how do we start to leverage this, you know, additional payment, working with customers to really get them to access our technology more. Where we see this is it further removes a barrier to entry, you know, for our customers to access this. Specific geographies of the country, it's going to have more of an impact than in other geographies. But I think the one takeaway is it removes another barrier, you know, for adoption and validates the technology story that we've been saying here. We're not calling out a specific sales increase that's going to result from that, but what we do is it really helps our sales reps on a day-to-day basis get access and, you know, tell their story from there.
Yeah.
Just as a follow-up, on the M&A side, you call it out here in slide five, and you talk about these opportunities in disposables and capital. Is that a acquisition strategy geographically, product-based? I guess in a lower growth category, I mean, what gets you up to those mid-
Yeah.
to mid-single digit or faster than market kind of levels?
Yeah. So the answer is yes. It is a geography view, and it is also a product view. And we're working a funnel that gives us both looks at that. Here's the thing. It's not necessarily a double-digit growth market, but there's something about being a market leader that allows you to abstract an abnormal profit. And we think that even though the growth rate of this market might not be as exciting, by being able to expand our leadership in those spaces, we'll be able to drive better shareholder value. So part of our view here is, again, back to the balanced portfolio approach, is we're going to look at places that are high growth, high margin, like Neuromod, but also some of these areas where there might be slightly slower growth, but it expands our footprint, tucks straight into what we think is a real specialty offering that we have. And we think we can do that geographically or with new products. So does that get at it?
It does. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Through here.
Hold on. Yeah. Over here, please.
Just one question. It's Matt Miksic from UBS again on the sort of competitive market in the U.S. Just wondering if the concentration that we're seeing around these centers of excellence and TAVR centers, concentration of cardiac surgery volumes, is kind of changing the way that you think about competition or targeting the business in the U.S., and then whether and to what degree the case on U.S. studies may help better position you in those centers of excellence.
I'll take the first part of that question.
Sure.
The answer is yes. We are constantly taking a look at how do we go to market to really get the biggest return of our investment. Obviously, a sales organization, as you all know, is probably one of the biggest investments that a company makes. What we've done over the last six to 12 months, and I'll speak specifically about North America, is really taking a look at, are we deploying our sales resources in the most efficient way? Specifically, when you look at a lot of valve procedures are not evenly spread out. They are heavily concentrated with big centers. So what Jason's done with his team is really start to kind of tweak how we do this and really put more focus in the bigger centers and kind of less general coverage, if that makes sense, and really make sure that we're in places where they're doing multiple aortic valves every day of the week, every week of the month from there. So we are adjusting our sales kind of coverage to address that phenomenon that we're seeing as well.
There's a very specific group of cities. Again, we're not going to get into the detail, where we've invested in the last 4 months, put new heads in. As Jason mentioned, they live in the accounts. And it's a bit of a change for us. We used to be a bit peanut butter. We're much more focused than we used to be. Back to the Caisson thing. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely energized the conversation, and let me put it that way. We're not looking at. There's another company that I think has gone very aggressive in terms of locking people up. Candidly, I don't think clinicians want to be locked up, and that's certainly the reaction we've had from people being forced into a contractual arrangement. What I will say is, though, that having Caisson has really opened up people's eyes to, "Oh, wait, LivaNova really is here, and maybe we should partner with you." And that's been really quite encouraging and a dramatic shift even in the last 4 months. Yeah.
Other questions? We have a few more minutes. Do you have questions?
Sorry, guys. Real quick. I just wondered if you could give me a status update on the heat-to-cooler situation when you look to resell on those products.
Yeah. Do you want me to?
No, you go ahead.
Very quickly, I think a lot of you know this was an emerging issue a couple of years ago. It's now, in terms of total revenue, less than 1% of the global revenue. We've been encouraged by the response of a number of regulatory bodies in Europe and you know, Singapore, where we've got a fix in place. We continue to work really aggressively and well with the FDA. I think with the constant conversation with them about moving this forward and getting to approval is very top of mind for them and us. But we're encouraged because we're already implementing the fix outside the US, and the response has been tremendous. So we've provisioned for it. We know what the fix, roughly is going to cost. We took $4 million of that last year of the amount that's left. So let's call it 38 in total, $34 million. About 70% of that cost is going to be incurred in this year, but we've already provisioned for it, and 30% of it into 18. Dad's nodding, so I got the numbers mostly right. Yeah. So that's again, we're encouraged, but more to come. If the FDA gets to a conclusion, that would be tremendous.
Maybe just one other thing to add, and I think it goes back to our leadership position in perfusion and the relationships that we've built with our customers over time. This is obviously an industry issue which industry is having to address, but our primary focus has been in kind of taking care of the customer and making sure that that they feel comfortable, moving forward, doing their procedures on a daily basis. And I think we've been, it's been good to kind of work with them in multiple countries all over the world and to hear their reaction and their willingness to work with us as well. So we feel good about the reaction back from customers and the kind of regulatory authorities on that.
Any other questions?